A reading from Genesis. The Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to them, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read responsively from Psalm 138. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord. When they have heard the words of your mouth,
they will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, yet cares for the lowly, perceiving the mighty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your promise for me. O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
A reading from Colossians. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. So, it happened again this week. I really try not to take the bait when there is so much clickbait out there. But there was this one about people's stories of winning a year's supply of this or a lifetime supply of that. It told stories about all these different people and their experiences. And I bet you've already brought to mind some stories that you know about those winning a life supply of something or other. I have to admit, it was a bit of a guilty pleasure. Then I moved on. And later that day, as the staff meeting, we read the gospel reading for today. It was a close reading. We were following the form of Lectio Divina. And as we read together, I was pondering the way that Jesus teaches his disciples about prayer at their request. Of course, there is that John character who they'd heard was teaching his disciples how to pray. I found myself pondering the pronouns. You see, when we listen closely, the Lord's Prayer is not an individual prayer, but a prayer of the community. "Father, hallowed be your name," suggests a close, intimate, familial relationship. Luther tells us this means we can approach God as we would our parents, and in the best of times, that means we can ask for anything. "Your kingdom come. Luther teaches us that God's kingdom comes without any participation on our part, but with this prayer, we pray that God's kingdom may be active in and through us. Give us today our daily bread. There are those plural pronouns. In this, we pray that God will provide us not just bread, but everything we need for life. Luther offers a whole list of examples. Here's a short list. House and family, shoes and work, spouses and children, livestock and food, everything we need for life. I used to tell the kids in rural settings that those cows that Luther speaks of, well, those were the tractor too. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Wait a minute. That's not what we pray. No, indeed, the Lord's Prayer that we pray is a synthesis and perhaps a compromise among Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel and tradition and maybe even a little culture mixed in. But I wander from the point. We pray that God forgives our sins and assert that we have already forgiven the debts of all who owe us something. Now, I've said it a few times before here. Jesus is a very conservative interpreter of Scripture and of God's intention to protect the most vulnerable. And those who have become indebted in that time and culture quite probably would have been folks who borrowed to sustain themselves and lost their property. They lost their way of making a living. Forgiveness of those debts would mean restoration to potential livelihood for those vulnerable poor. In some contexts, we speak of a jubilee. It's what we do, right? Do not bring us to a time of trial. Again, Luther reminds us, as the Pope recently reminded the Roman Catholic community, that God does not tempt us or even test us. In this, we pray that God protect us from those times when the devil, when the world, when our culture invites us, would tempt us, would test us. And in that protection, we know God's grace. Did you miss them? Luke does not pray, "Our Father," nor does he say, "In heaven," nor does he say, "Deliver us from evil." There is much to ponder about Luke's telling of the story and who he is telling it to and how he tells it. But that would be a much longer sermon. So Jesus goes on. He encourages his followers to make our petitions. He promises that when we knock and seek and watch, we will have responses from God. He tells a story that is so outside our 21st century culture of 24-hour grocery stores that I tend to hear it with annoyance. If my neighbor came asking for food in the middle of the night, first I would be suspect. Then I'd be a bit miffed that they woke me up. Then if they persisted, well, I'd be pretty grumpy as I went about and got what we had to share. But in the first century time, hospitality demands a response. And even still in the story, we hear of the neighbor putting off his neighbor. And yet that neighbor persists. Jesus tells us to persist in our prayers, to keep asking, keep raising up the concerns. There's a story of Luther petitioning God on behalf of a colleague. Timothy Wengert writes about it in his book, Martin Luther's Catechisms. Wingert writes, in June of 1540, Philip Melanchthon had taken sick on his way to the religious colloquy in Hagenau. He stopped in Weimar on June 12th, unable to travel further and too weak to return to Wittenberg. By the time his concerned colleagues, including Martin Luther and Justus Jonas, arrived in Weimar on June 23rd with Melanchthon's son, Philip, the poor man was in a semi-conscious state. After assessing the situation, Luther walked over to a window and started praying. As Luther later described it, according to Matthias Ratzenberger, there in Weimar, the Lord God had to stretch out his hand to me, for I threw the entire sack in front of his door and rubbed his ears with all the promissiones to hear prayers that I was able to recall from Holy Scripture so that he had to hear me were I to believe all those other promises. Jesus makes the point with some very extraordinary examples of the care that parents offer. Not giving a snake instead of a fish, not giving a scorpion when a child asks for an egg. No, we should and can expect that God's love, God's care, God's response is even greater than that of earthly parents. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more indeed? These words are sure. It is not a prayer just for us individuals. It is a prayer that we pray together as community. And as we pray, we trust that God hears and responds. And even when we don't see the response we would hope to see, we trust that the Holy Spirit is coming on our behalf. The call to prayer is also a call to respond to God's grace that is promised. It is a call to live up to our baptismal promises, working for justice and peace in all the land, serving all people, following the example of Christ Jesus, proclaiming the good news of forgiveness and new life in Jesus. Oh, that clickbait. I don't have any way of knowing if this story is true, but one of the stories was about a woman who ate a whole bag of goldfish only to find a dead snake at the bottom. God is not like that at all.